As we continue together for my time here during the month of July, revisiting some of my greatest hits of the gospel that I've preached over the years. So this is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and it reads like this. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who will share in your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer does deserve to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and living out of God's word this morning. Thanks be to God. Amen. So this morning I have to start off with a bit of a confession, and that is that I hate group work. Anybody else? Anybody join me? I hate group work. I'm sorry, teachers in the congregation, including my husband, who is a good hero of a teacher. Anytime a teacher assigned group work, I did not have the most formidable reaction. From elementary school all the way to seminary, I hated when a teacher, a professor, whoever would say, "We're going to try to do this assignment as a group." Because who's with me? Nobody raised their hand. Don't leave me up here all alone. Who's with me? Does anybody else hate it? You know, I mean, you hate it for the same reasons I do, right? Because you feel like you're always the one that does all the work in the group, right? And that there's always a kid, another student that benefits, that gets the A, that, you know, they were just too busy to come to the meetings, they couldn't show up to any of the pre-work, they couldn't, but boy, are they there on presentation day, ready to show off to the preacher what went well, or to the teacher what went so well, Freudian slip there, ready to show off to the teacher what went so well in the group work, right? Oh, group work. Not my best student work, group work was, ever. And I know why I don't like group work. It's my family's fault. It's the family I grew up in, namely my dad, who I'll quote here in a minute, but not just him. I grew up in a Midwestern farming family that was very solitary in their approach to work, right? Because they knew that whatever they got done on the farm meant they would eat the next day and weeks and months, right? So the work was all about one person, what can I do to make sure I feed my family? What can I get done? From the time I was this small, I can remember my dad saying to me, "If you want something done right," y'all must have grown up in the same family as me. "If you want something done right, do it yourself." Oh, that was instilled in me from the get-go. So, you know, I become a child and I go to school and I didn't want to do group work. I didn't want to depend on anyone else. I had signed up for this idea that my grade was my grade and nobody else got to decide what it was going to be. Like I said, it's my family of origin's fault that I hate group work. Y'all have heard the expression, no I in team, right? It's my second slide, I believe. No I in team, right? Well, somebody clever came up with this meme a couple of years ago. Actually, there is. There is an I in team. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about how the I is part of the team. So my hate for group work made it make a lot of sense that when I became a high schooler and it was kind of the, you know, it was the thing to pick a sport, I was not going to sign up for volleyball. I was not going to sign up for softball. I had had little league slow pitch, t-ball, whatever, soccer. I had experiences of that as a small child, and it turns out that no one really wants the girl that, like, takes the grass and throws it up in the air and twirls in it on their team, so I wasn't going to sign up for any of those sports. But my school had a tennis team, and it made so much sense for me to sign up for tennis because it is an individual single sport. And no one else had to depend on me. I didn't have to depend on anyone else. It was my serve, my forehand, my backhand that mattered. But imagine my disappointment when about 3 days in to my first year on the tennis team as a freshman in high school, when I realized that my individual match score was going to become a part of the team score, and my individual score would actually help figure out if we beat the other school or not. And on top of that, coach made me get a doubles partner, because there's this thing in tennis called doubles. So actually, teams everywhere. I couldn't escape it. No I in team. Well, there is. There is an I in team. Both are important. What you're going to learn about me as a preacher and a theologian is that I'm really into the idea that both and, right? So both. Both I and the team matter. It's not one or the other. Both you and the team matters. That's why Jesus sent out pairs of two. That's why it was about teamwork for Jesus. That the individual disciple, who they were, their beliefs, their ideas, their passions mattered. But taking those out alone wasn't the call. The call was to join up with another disciple and go out together. One of the best ways I've ever heard this described is by Missouri Annual Conference's former bishop, Bishop Schnazy. And he said that he believed that Jesus sent the disciples out two by two because it was about being able to talk each other in to crazy stuff, right? You ever do that in your marriage and your friendships, at work, at church even, maybe? You talk each other in to crazy stuff. And the scripture, Jesus gives them a pretty clear instruction, something pretty simple to start off with, that I think illustrates the idea really well. And that's the idea, Lori touched on it, it's the idea of hospitality. It's the idea that the disciples are going to go into these homes and in these villages, and things are going to be made for them that they shouldn't turn down, right? Because in that culture, hospitality was everything. And if somebody made you something, you needed to go ahead and try it. So what some of you might not know yet is that my husband actually grew up in Kenya, East Africa. His parents were missionaries there for 40 years. And we have dreams someday of going back to where he grew up. And I know that at some point, if we get to do that, I am going to be faced with having to eat some things that I might not love the idea of eating. But I know for a fact, because I've already tried it, that when someone puts goat in front of me in Kenya, I am not going to be excited to eat it. I've tried it here. They call it lamb with an attitude. That's all I'm gonna, okay? Yeah, right? So I know that the reason why I would go with Randall to Kenya and the reason why I would go into someone's home and accept their hospitality of goat cooked over a Spitfire grill is because he's there to talk me in to trying that for them, right? To respect that hospitality, to know that a meal of goat over there is a week's worth of wages, right? To know that it's a deep calling for them to be able to provide that hospitality. So that's exactly what Jesus is getting across to his disciples. You're going to go into these homes and people are going to make you things. And you're going to talk each other in to trying them. But even that's a smaller representation of what you're going to talk each other into sharing with these people, right? Not just their food, but your passion for the gospel. And that's what the teamwork's all about. That's what the 2x2 is about. It's about talking each other in to the crazy visions, to the big ideas that God gets from us. I wonder if sometimes you all find yourself in small groups or Sunday school classes or one-on-one relationships, discipling relationships here at church, where one of you has caught a vision and the other one's trying to talk the other person into it, and it's like, I can't go there, but you get courage from one another. That's why we go 2x2. That's why Christianity, that's why following Jesus is not a solitary sport. It's not tennis, right? It's group work. It's group work. It's probably what made being a pastor of a local church hard for me sometimes, as I started out with my confession that I'm not the best person to do group work with, right? Group work is difficult. I look back at those times when I was a student, and I want to go back and apologize to some of those teachers, because I wonder what it would have been like if I would have come to that group work with a better attitude, right? Or not these preconceived ideas about other people being the bad students and me being the one that was ready to do all the work, right? I think I could really probably owe a lot of people some apologies about my attitude about group work. Teachers, coaches, pastors, leaders are so important to the idea of teamwork and how that helps us follow Jesus in a way where we work together. And test your NFL knowledge a little bit this morning. Does anybody know this guy's name? I know. Yes, please. Accept my confession. This is Bruce Arians, okay? I was very careful to put him on our slideshow this morning in an Arizona Cardinals outfit, okay? Because right now he wears Tampa Bay. Okay, so we're not gonna, and I'm still not over January, just like you all, but this is a story of him when he was coaching at Arizona about 5 years ago. And it came out that Bruce, when he was a coach of a college team at Temple University, he completely burned out in every way, shape, and form. And he realized that it was because he was doing defensive coaching, offensive coaching. He's a quarterback coach. He was the one-on-one personal, like, spiritual counselor for his players. He was their father figure. He was doing so much for his players that he just absolutely burnt out. And there's this really powerful article from him and his wife talking about what that burnout looked like, and it was physical for him. He had a headache so bad one day that half of his body went numb. The article says that he chewed his teeth off, which I don't know exactly what that means, but it sounds less than pleasant, right? So he obviously had taken way too much on as the head coach at this college. So he realized as he went into his NFL career that he was going to have to depend on some other people and use their gifts, right? So he hired an offensive coach and a defensive coach and somebody to be the quarterback coach and all of those things. And he took the head coach position. The Cardinals did pretty well for those seasons that he He was the coach. We know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did well. So I don't want to talk about it. But obviously, the way he figured out that he needed to depend on some other people and be a part of a team, do some group work, if you will, worked out pretty well. It turned out really well. It made him a better coach. And it certainly, his wife says, made him a better husband, too. So she said, the end of the article is kind of her side of the story, and she says, I'm glad he burned out. He learned the hard way. He learned the really hard way. He can't do it all the time, but he learned. And now he's able to depend on other people. And that's really what this scripture and Jesus' words to us is about this morning. It's about working together, not going out on your own, two by two. And Jesus even takes it a step further, like he almost always does. And that's that, you know, like, you don't need to bring anything, just each other, right? So all that stuff that you're trying to weigh yourself down with isn't going to help you. Your purse, your sandals, the food you might want to pack, the drink you might want to have, all that stuff is extra. What you need is me and one another. The founder of our denomination said, Christianity is essentially a social religion. To turn it into a solitary religion is indeed to destroy it. Now, that's a smaller quote from a pretty intense sermon. That's John Wesley for you. He's intense. From a pretty intense sermon where he says solitary religion is as untrue as holy adultery. That wouldn't really fit pretty on a quote board, right, for us? But that's how serious John Wesley was about religion not being a solitary sport. It is a two-by-two effort. I think the disciples were probably really honed in that day as Jesus said, okay, you're going to go two-by-two. I wonder, as an aside, I do have to wonder a little bit if there was one disciple or many disciples that were standing there going, oh my gosh, do not give me Peter. I do not want Peter on my team because you all, right? You hate the group work just like me, so you know there's always that one you don't want in your group. So they're standing there and they're getting these teams together. And I think once they got past the worry that they might get Peter, they probably started to draw on. I know they were accomplished, disciplined students who knew their Torah, who knew their Hebrew Bible, who knew their history. So they probably drew on the fact that there was this guy named Moses who got this call from God, and his immediate reaction was, nope, not me. You're wrong. I'm not the one you want. I'm not eloquent of speech. I stutter. And God said, well, then why don't you go ahead and take Aaron with you? He can be your mouthpiece. So the whole chapter, the whole book of Exodus is about Moses and Aaron doing teamwork, right? So the disciples learn that day with Jesus that it's about two by two, it's about teamwork, it's about religion not being a solitary sport. It's about being vulnerable enough to admit that you don't have all the answers, that you have a lot of questions, and that you need one another. You know, it's really easy in today's society to convince ourselves that we don't need each other. It's really easy in our culture to think, I'm just going alone, right? Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. The American way, right? Just go out on our own. I don't need anybody else. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus is talking about here. Talking about teamwork, talking about two by two, talking about depending on God for everything we could ever need. And that's scary, but here's the good news. I was thinking about this while you sang, Sam, no longer a slave to fear, because it's scary to think We don't need anything but one another, right? We want to fill our bags with all this stuff we might need. But we're no longer slaves to fear because look around. The good news is right all around this place with you. You're not alone. You're not here in worship alone. You have one another. And that is more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.